earthlings, we have now taken over your radio.
Kobe!
Oh man, oh man.
Get that Celtic ass!
It's impossible!
What is up, hoopsters? Thanks for tuning in to Game of Runs. My name is Neil Noonan. And alongside me, live in studio, it's hot, it's muggy outside, but gotta love the sunshine. It's Serge Kanda.
You know what Serge means? Sun.
No, does it actually?
Yeah, well, S-U-N, not S-O-N, because that'd be redundant, right? Yeah. Yeah. But,
cool, the more you know.
Yeah, yeah. It's hot. That's why it's always lit, you know, because it's basketball, and basketball's fun, and my name means hot star, so it's lit.
Basketball's been ridiculous for the past week. I'm just going to pretend you didn't say anything for the past 10 seconds.
Yeah, let's just ignore everything I said. Hey, Paul George is not on the Lakers.
Was that? It's so funny that news moves so fast in the basketball community, and we have a show once a week. I said this last week that it's even hard to remember what has happened since, because so much has happened. I could have sworn we talked about that last show, but here we are.
All Chris Paul last week.
Unbelievable.
Chris Paul is on the Rockets. I still haven't even digested that.
Exactly, right? Yeah.
We already spoke about that.
Oh, man. And I love what Daryl Morey said about how it's an arms race. And I think this is another example. Sam Presti, man, continues to impress and just show how he's one of the best general managers in the NBA. Both making an incredible salary dump, getting rid of Victor Oladipo's 4-for-$80 million contract.
The best kinds of dumps,
yeah,
are salary dumps.
Those are the best kinds of dumps. Actually, we can talk about that later. Yeah, Game of Runs. an incredible salary dump. They did get rid of Domantas Sabonis. How do you say his last?
Domantas Sabonis.
Well, you're incredible with pronunciations. I'll just leave that to you. For a package for Paul George, where it's a win-win situation for OKC, where they get rid of a guy that it's very obvious they were down on after making that trade. And all in all, they basically traded Serge Ibaka for Paul George. Incredible.
When you boil it down, yeah, it's kind of impressive that you just flip an asset into seemingly worse assets into seemingly better assets than you started with. And that's a variety of circumstances. Indiana knew the value was a little lower since Paul George is only on 1 year remaining on his contract. So he, I believe, is Pritchard. Kevin Pritchard?
Yep, Kevin Pritchard, president right now for the Pacers.
Yeah, trying to clean up whatever's left that Larry Bird was able to leave. And the value was low on that, but was there a better package out there?
There had to be.
There had to have been,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, man. I mean, it's coming out now, but what Danny Ainge has proposed to them, not only during, was it All-Star weekend kind of thing, and draft night, and trade deadline, all that stuff. Like, there was a bunch of packages that included much, much more than Sabonis and Victor Oladipo coming out of Boston, as well as other places, right? Like, even Denver's package of Gary Harris and a first-round pick sounds so much better to me than getting Victor Oladipo and Sabonis. So, man, I'm really not sure what Pritchard's idea was. Maybe they're just really, really high on Oladipo, who did play in Indiana in college. And maybe they see something that we don't, but I can't help but think there was multiple packages that were better. What do you think about this whole thing of, like, him not wanting to trade Paul George to the Eastern Conference? Any stock in that at all?
So I'm curious how much emotions play into the job role, right? Because
totally.
Usually I would say no, but he came out and said it feels like a gut punch like six times. So, given his reaction to the media about it, there may have been some weight in the fact that, and obviously it is a tactical move to trade them to the other conference so you don't have to deal with them when you're trying to compete, right?
And are they trying to compete now?
Well, that's a whole other story.
Starting guard Darren Collison. Okay, yeah, continue.
Hey, Miles Turner's great. Yeah, Miles Turner's great. But with that said, I understand that, trading them to a different conference. But you should not trade them to a different conference to compromise your returns. That it seems like this compromised their returns. Even if you don't give me the Brooklyn pick, but you give me Jay Crowder, Avery Bradley, and one non-premium pick or two non-premium picks, I'll take that over Oladipo and Sabonis any day.
Yeah, no doubt.
So, like, I understand removing him from your conference, and I guess I understand it, though it's a little bit petty. It's really petty to possibly send someone to somewhere they don't want to be. Yeah, actually,
you want to go to L.A.? Well, I'll send you to OKC.
Same thing, right?
Enjoy the nightlife.
Yeah, you know what? Vancouver, Winnipeg, what's the difference?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But with that said, at least in a good basketball position where he is beside Westbrook, that is kind of cool to think about. But I put stock into the fact that there was some emotional aspect of this, because by all accounts, he said in the media, there were all-star offer, all-star players or all-star caliber. He worded it, but he said all-star.
Yeah. Oladipo, yeah. All-star caliber.
Yeah, sure. Sabonis, his dad was great.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's fantastic. Yeah.
So, I don't know, man. If it compromises your team going forward, that's where you effed up. And I think that's where he might have effed up.
Yeah, so. And I do agree with you that trading an all-star, he's not an all-NBA player, an all-star player to the other conference makes a lot of sense when you are competing. Yeah. I don't think Indiana's competing anymore. I don't even think they'll sniff the playoffs with their current roster right now. Sorry, Miles Turner. Yes, fantastic young player. I really don't think they're going to sniff the playoffs with what they have right now. And, like, for an example, I remember Nate Duncan actually bringing this up in his one of his recent podcasts, saying that if Boston was to dump Smart, which it seems like they're going to have to now that they brought Gordon Hayward on, it makes sense not to trade them to Cleveland.
Yes.
Right? As much as Cleveland would love Marcus Smart, you're literally going to trade him to the one competitor that you have to get into the finals from the East, right? That makes a lot of sense where, yes, let's trade Smart to the Western Conference, to Dallas or whatever it is, just to make sure that somebody that we value but we actually can't actually afford anymore isn't going to haunt us in the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
In this case, man, they're not going to be competing for the same spot that Boston would. So is Paul George, like, they're going to see them twice probably next year. And Paul George might have some fantastic games against his old team. That's okay. You know, like, this is a job, like a lot of jobs where, especially in sports, that you have to take the emotion out of it. And it really didn't seem like Kevin Pritchard did. And I saw Bill Simmons tweeted on my walk here saying that, like, he hasn't agreed with really any of the moves Kevin Pritchard has made in the past 6 months or whatever, fresh off him stretching Monte Ellis's $11 million contract.
Which is
11. You're spreading that over 5 years. So, man, who's on their books that's really taking up that much room, and who are they trying to get to make room? I don't know, whatever. But I kind of agree with Bill Simmons here. Like, I'm not really sure what Pritchard is doing, and we'll see. I mean, if Oladipo is an all-star, I'll eat my words. But, man, this trade looks like another fleecing from getting a star in OKC.
Yeah, Oladipo seems like the kind of player, almost Zach LaVine-esque, in the sense that it will get you 20 points a game, but maybe not the quintessential two-way player or the shooting guard to build around, but definitely a good starting two-guard. Nowhere near the capacity of Paul George, but, I mean, I guess you take what you can. With that said, yeah, a bit of a franchise in disarray. Maybe not the best situation going forward. But hey, if they could tank this year, I do agree the stretch provision should be to get more detrimental salary off your books.
Totally.
Not just $11 million spread over 5 years.
Come on, it's the stretch Gilbert Arenas, not Monte Ellis, yes. $11 million contract.
It's a Josh Smith level thing, even though I'm pretty sure they just straight up cut him or something.
Yeah, they waived him, yeah.
Yeah. But with that said, like, it should be used on a higher salary, so like, maybe they know something we don't. Maybe there is interest. Or maybe they've convinced their ownership to move forward in the Michael Porter sweepstakes for the next draft.
Sure.
Who knows?
But if Oladipo's that good.
Yeah. Yeah. And Sabonis turns out to be a great starter.
Who knows? Fun thought exercise, though. Now we've had literally three stars traded. So we have Chris Paul going to Houston, Jimmy Butler over to Minnesota, and now we have Paul George in OKC. out of all three of those packages that were received by the other team, what's the best player that's come out of all those trades?
Packages for the other teams?
Yeah. Is it LaVine? Is it Oladipo?
Current value?
Is it Patrick Beverley?
Yeah, current value has got to be one of the 20-point scoring guards, right? Oladipo or LaVine. LaVine's injured, so I guess current value would be Oladipo. But his books, as you said, he's making 4 years, $80 million. That's a lot for a slightly above... I mean, I guess that's on par for a slightly above average starter. But, like, you don't want to be paying that much to Oladipo because you kind of expect where his ceiling is right now. I guess Chris Dunn and Lauri Markkanen, because they're on rookie deals right now. Chris Dunn hasn't shown that potential. Lauri Markkanen's got... he's got a chance of being pretty good. Patrick,
all the rookies have a chance of being good.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I'm being very optimistic. Sam Dicker. Yeah,
nice.
Yeah. That's my thoughts on that. No, Sam Dicker and Patrick Beverley. And I'm the dude that pronounces stuff well.
Yeah. The easiest white boy name of all time, Sam Dicker.
Sam Dicker and Pat.
I got
Beverley.
That one down, Pat.
Yeah. That's a good package, too, but a singular assets, I'd take the two shooting guards over top.
Yeah, Sam Dicker's a great package.
Screw you. Okay, how would you?
Have some fun with that for the next year or two.
Yeah, how would you?
Yeah, it's really tough. I'm really high on Pat Bev. He's on a great contract. I think he just does a lot of things well, and he's kind of just kind of conformed to his role, you know, and I think he's going to be really good for the clip show, but... Man, Zach LaVine, maybe when he was healthy, I think he was playing really, really well. I've never been high on Oladipo. What does he do well?
Dunk.
Yeah.
He's a good singer.
Yes. Yeah, I'm sure he's a good dancer, too. I'm just not really sure what he really does well in the NBA. And then even watching him, I think he had a career year with OKC. And I think he's a good slasher. I think he can put the ball down on the floor for one or two dribbles and, yes, dunk it. But I'm not 100. I think he's an overrated defensive player. I think it's one of those things where if you see a guy steal the ball, if you see a guy block a shot kind of thing, where you just automatically think they're a good defensive player.
He has athleticism. Yeah, that masks.
Exactly, yeah. So I'm just not really sure what he does super well. But, yeah, it's really kind of cool to see these stars being shuffled around a little bit. And
oh, yeah.
Now the Western Conference is just as strong as ever. I saw, you know, ESPN does their ESPN rank every year. I think someone said out of the top 30 players on ESPN ranks last year, I think only five of them, maybe six of them now that Gordon Hayward's over there, are in the top 30.
Yeesh.
From the East.
My gosh.
Isn't that ridiculous, man? Like, just crazy.
I mean, there's a couple of reasons why, right? Like, more of the teams have lower state taxes or no state taxes in the West. The one... major one in the East being Miami, and of course Miami is pretty good at attracting free agents and rehabbing value.
Not good enough.
Hey, they got Dion Waiters.
That's true.
We'll get to that.
Will we?
No, possibly.
There's a lot going on.
That is true.
That was us getting to that.
Yeah, that's pretty much. Yeah, so Dion Waiters.
Signed back Miami.
Yeah, but I mean, less state tax is one thing. Also, there are just more incompetent franchises in the East.
Yeah, that's right? True. Yeah, so, like Indiana.
Yeah, I mean, bigger markets like California and Texas just have better owners.
And
right
I
now.
Think people like players just generally want to play there. You know, like California in general, kind of thing. Like I a lot of them like Texas as well. So yeah, it's interesting, but man, LeBron James's path just keeps getting more clear.
Yes. And imagine, like, who are their biggest rivals if LeBron decides to stay in the East, which will be insane. We haven't even brought that up, that LeBron could possibly be one of those West Coast players. It could be 25-5 in terms of top 30 players in the West. But with that said, who's his biggest challenge going forward? The Wizards. The Celtics, of course. Celtics might be able to take the Cavs to 6 games this year. I think the Sixers in 3 years. Sixers in 3 years could be an Eastern Conference Finals team. The Bucks. Bucks Sixers is our dream.
Own the future, baby.
Yeah. That's our dream conference finals.
The future versus the process.
Oh, that's going to be so fun. Yeah. That's going to be so fun. They're going to be in the playoffs at least once.
And how about the North? Bringing it back.
Yeah, 3 years for the whole squad. Unfortunately, they had to let go of Patrick Beverley.
Patrick.
Patrick Patterson. What is wrong with me?
Pat.
Patrick Patterson and PJ Tucker. The Raptors could not keep those two to afford Kyle Lowry, who lost a lot of leverage in his negotiating rights, just seeing all the point guards get snatched up quickly. And Serge Ibaka.
Yep.
Both 3 years, $33 million per year for Kyle Lowry. And what was it for Ibaka?
65 for three.
Oh, that's pretty good. So yeah. 21 point something. Yeah. Good deals. I mean, it makes sense to run them both back. They're both prime, tail end of their primes. And at 3 years from now, that's when the contract would be sour if it were a five-year deal. Just great moves by Masai. I was totally happy with paying them what they deserve, what they earned, rather, for 3 years. Not 4 years, not 5 years. 3 years is right. So.
Yeah, and I feel like that's been a trend this free agency where a lot of players, great players like Kyle Lowry, are getting three-year deals, right? The very obvious, like KD, he got a two-year 53, which, I mean, that's a whole story in itself. Dude taking a massive pay cut.
You could pay him $50 million for 1 year, and I wouldn't bat an eye.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But Steph and Blake both getting their Supermax. Steph, 5 for 201, biggest contract in NBA history.
Deserves.
Oh, absolutely. That was a done deal that was a done deal for a long time.
Yeah.
But right at midnight on July 1st, it was ready to go.
Weird thing about that. No trade kicker. No trade clause.
Yeah.
So I really
think no trade clauses are. I don't think that's going to happen very often anymore. You know, like Steph actually wouldn't have surprised me. That makes because he
franchise player.
He'll probably be a Warrior for life.
Yeah.
And, but it's one of those things that like.
You got to have a lot of power to demand that.
Yeah, no doubt. And a lot of leverage, absolutely. Blake Griffin, 5 for 173.
Second highest paid.
Yeah, no real surprise there either, especially after Paul left. And then they also made the trade for Danilo Gallinari. They're going to have a pretty good team, you know? Pat Bev, Lou Williams, Gallinari, Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan. They just have guys that don't necessarily stay on the court for an entire 82-game season.
They've gone from a prospective 3 seed to a 6 seed, so like they're still a good playoff team.
Yeah, oh, totally. They'll be there
as long as Blake's healthy.
But Gallinari, another guy that took one of those 3 year contracts. Paul Millsap as well, 3 for 90, took a 3 year contract, and then like all in very similar to Ibaka and Gallinari, the two point guards below Lowry was Hill and Teague, both taking 3 years, 57. So tons of 3 year deals. So it's interesting to see that. Basically off of a CBA or new rules of like supermaxes and stuff like that, and giving your hometown guy the 5 years kind of thing, which has almost completely eliminated that. Like very, very few players are getting those big, big contracts that were meant to keep guys in their city.
Yeah. I mean, who would have deserved that contract, right? Guys like a Paul George, maybe. And he didn't qualify for it. Guys like Gordon Hayward, and Gordon Hayward didn't qualify for it. Kyle Lowry, it made sense for them to not pay him that, right? Because he is 31. So I agreed with all the moves. I mean, like, this is a more competent than usual offseason.
Totally. Yeah, there's not a lot of deals that kind of like...
There's no Mozgov.
...surprised me, right? Yeah. Oh, my God.
The Mozgov deal. There's none of those going on right now. And, I mean, there are a couple weird ones. Langston Galloway getting $7 million, $7.5 million per year from Detroit. But once again, like, if you're overpaying someone, but it's under $10 million a year, it's still like... I'm upset, but I won't be outraged, right?
Yeah.
So...
Do you think a lot of these contracts had to do with the free agent class, or do you think it was the salary cap being $3 million lower or $4 million lower than actually projected kind of thing? Like what do you think the reason that all these contracts kind of came out for sure lower years than everyone expected? I think the salaries are kind of what people are expected.
Yeah, I think it's a mix. I think there's a lot of variables to that. One is that you brought up the tying in of Malcolm Gladwell's or someone else's millennial culture theory, where this is a different NBA and people just don't want to stay in one place as long.
Totally.
The other being that both parties are smarter, the players and the teams.
And those agents, man.
Those agents, absolutely. Yeah. That if you're the more likely you are to get to free agency near your prime, the bigger contract you'll get. So it makes sense for either people in their prime looking to cash out, get lucrative 3 year deals, and that saves face for the team. They don't sign you to a 5-year deal. That's going to be a horrible contract. And then on the player's end, we get paid well for 3 years, and then we could work somewhere else if we want to.
Right.
And possibly chase a ring. We'll have different goals as 35, 34-year-olds. So I'm kind of a fan of both parties flexing their power, especially the players, because the players deserve, they earned what they get, right?
Yeah.
So,
Said, man. Articulate.
Thank you. And I mean, I personally wouldn't, but if Otto Porter is offered 4 years, 5 years.
Shout out to Sean Marks and the Nets.
Yeah, 4 years, $106 million for Otto Porter.
Continuing the trend, hey?
Yo,
here's a max contract. You get a max contract.
The Oprah Winfrey of max contracts.
Yeah, why not?
And one, that's adding some goodwill to player agents, because player agents are like, oh, you're making my guy and me money.
Yep, that's
so,
very true.
So shout outs to the Brooklyn Nets, because they're not just building. I mean, some teams probably hate them because the Wizards are going to have to pay Otto Porter $106 million.
I mean, it was reported that they're into it anyway.
They're going to match anyway, yeah. And assume they're going to do the same thing with KCP to some degree.
No doubt.
And that makes perfect sense. They did it with Tyler Johnson as well. They did it with Alan Crabb. And that's getting in the good books of player agents, because you're getting their guys paid and you're getting them paid. And hey, you got the money to spend, and you got no draft picks. Do that. Go do that.
Yeah, it's a very savvy move for sure.
Yeah, and those are all for 23, 24, 25-year-olds, which makes sense to offer them 4-year deals. And I know I'm just a fan of negotiating on both ends right now.
No doubt. Yeah, no, you said it really, really well. It makes a lot of sense, especially because, yeah, the stars are going to get their money, and then being a free agent is, it's all the rage now, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, most of the money is out in the NBA. I think the salary cap will float around $100 million for the next, like, for the foreseeable future, at least.
Yeah.
So all the big money was gone last year. But, yeah, then they'll get the re-up. They'll get to see where their team is as far as the landscape of the NBA. And, yeah, I think you said it really well as far as, like, a win-win.
You brought up a good point right there. Last year probably scared both parties into, well, especially the ownership and the teams in general, right? Probably scared them into being a little more cautious about 3-year, 4-year, 5-year deals and lucrative deals and who should be paid how much. So last year probably had a huge part to pay in it. So
no doubt. And with all these, like you mentioned, the point guards with Hill, Teague, Lowry, and stuff like that, and not having leverage, I think they went into this season not only expecting the salary cap to be $4 million higher, but they went in expecting to get very similar deals to, say, Mike Conley and stuff like that, right? That got deals last year, but completely different landscape this year. And we're at July 5th now, and God bless Rudy Gay, but most of the good players are gone and have found either new teams or have re-upped with their old ones. Has the landscape changed at all for you? Like, with any of these deals, with you guys coming back, with some of the stars changing teams, even the trades now that the draft is gone and stuff like that, we've basically kind of gone through anything that's going to shape what's going to happen next year. Has the landscape changed at all for you, or is it really just Cavs and Warriors once again? We're going to get the part four.
I mean, we might as well get to this. Does Gordon Hayward really move the needle for you for the Boston Celtics?
That's the big question, right? And I didn't actually mean to transition into that, but that's it, right? That was the move. Maybe you can add Chris Paul to that. I'm not sure how much Paul George actually moves OKC up into the forefront.
Maybe home court advantage.
Maybe, right?
But Chris Paul definitely moves the needle. Those are the two teams, right? Chris Paul moving the needle for Houston and Gordon Hayward for
San Antonio arguably kind of dropped, right? They're just bringing the band back. And yes, they were a 61-win team last year, but when the third team adds Chris Paul, one of the greatest point guards of all time, you'd like to think that moves them up into two.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, Boston, it's interesting because Gordon Hayward, absolutely, it's a huge move. They brought in Tatum, but I think the biggest question is, are they done? Right? That weird Marc Gasol rumor was floating out by Mannix today. I have no idea what to read into that.
Yeah.
Like, isn't Al Horford younger? And actually, they're probably the same age, I think, actually.
About the same age,
they almost have identical games.
Yeah. I like Marc Gasol a little more. I was talking with Brennan about this. Yeah. Shouts to Brennan.
B. Thompson.
Yeah. In a vacuum, I would take Marc Gasol.
Yes, I agree. Yeah.
But if you are building a team and you already have Al Horford, are you seriously going to give up your starting shooting guard and Jay Crowder and maybe a pick for a guy who's overlapping with 70% of your current starting center or current starting power forward. It doesn't really make sense, but it would be kind of sick. It would be pretty sick to have Gordon Hayward, Isaiah Thomas, Al Horford as your starting four, and Marc Gasol as your starting five.
Well, if they can do it and not get rid of Al, and he, like, people have been talking about this literally since he left Florida, because he played the four there right behind Joakim Noah. Oh, man, I actually miss him. I just said his name out loud.
Yeah.
Oh, man, he was one of my favorite players.
Talking about stretch candidates.
Yeah, no doubt. Al Horford, everybody's been talking about since he's gotten the NBA that he is a natural four, right? Like, he should play the four. Like, he's very skilled big man.
He could shoot from afar.
Absolutely, you know, and he can pass the ball and stuff like that, but...
Also not your best rebounder, which is why he's also a good four.
That's also a really good point. But he's played the five. Like, he's always played the five with the Hawks, especially since Millsap got there. He's playing the five right now. And if they could slide him and get Gasol, that would be unreal. But what's it for Memphis? What? I mean, unless you're getting a first-round pick, like you're getting that Nets pick next year, maybe even two.
Oh, yeah, I'm taking two. That's my franchise center.
Yeah, you're getting, say, two picks. I'm assuming you're going to get someone like your smart Bradley, who Ramona Shelburne actually live tweet. Celtics have been shopping Smart, Crowder, and Bradley today to try and clear room for Hayward. Pretty obvious.
And right? they also allowed...
Olynyk. Olynyk. Why I can't...
Kelly Olynyk.
Holy crap.
Olynyk.
That's unbelievable. I know his name pretty well, and that was pretty embarrassing.
That's a mug and a flow you cannot forget.
Yes, it's very true, and a pube chin.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
But of course they're shopping them, right? Because not only do they have to make room for Hayward, but they're incredible assets now. Can you name all the three guards, or the three position guys that Celtics have right now?
Okay, I mean, Jaylen Brown could play a two or a three. Yeah. Jason Tatum plays a three. Jay Crowder, mm-hmm. Gordon Hayward. Marcus Smart has played more three than one last year. Who am I forgetting?
I think that's it. I mean, you could probably toss some, like, who knows.
Those are five very good three guys.
You got to own some of that, right? Yeah. And who's their starting four?
I mean, I guess Horford. It was Horford, Olynyk, or Horford, Amir Johnson. Wasn't that
right? So Amir's gone. Olynyk's gone.
Hey, I mean, there's a center opening. Zizic. They're not going to start a rookie, though.
Who knows, right? So, like, they're definitely not done. So bringing it back to as far as, like, how the landscape has changed, I think a lot of it rides on Boston because Washington's pretty much set.
Yeah.
Toronto is absolutely set.
For sure.
They really have no moves left. And then who else? We talked about the upcoming teams where own the future. The Bucks, they're still going to be fantastic. They could sign a few people, but everything rides on Giannis. They got Jabari coming back.
Yep. Wizards.
Yeah, exactly. And then who knows who's going to creep up in that. But
Sixers.
Those are the teams, right? And it sounds like Cleveland's going to stay the course. They brought Korver back. I know they're shopping Chumpert a little bit, but that's probably just for cap relief.
Do you call him Chumpert?
Sure, yeah. another guy that I've just never been a fan of. I don't know what he does well on a basketball court.
That's fair, yeah.
I just don't understand. But besides if Boston makes another big swing, and it doesn't have to be Gasol, but like they just... Gordon Hayward is a great player. That doesn't bring them closer to the Cavs, who should have swept them if it wasn't a Marcus Smart hitting nine threes in an NBA game.
That was pretty sick.
Yeah. That was pretty sick.
In the moment, it was pretty sick.
Yeah. Oh, and Kelly Olynyk just having the game of his life.
Yeah. I mean, Celtics legend because of the Kelly Olynyk game, game seven. And unfortunately, they have to renounce him. They may not be done. I mean, who's to say that the Thunder actually don't flip Paul George for more assets? Because they're...
That'd be wild. And so Sam Presti.
Yes, that is quintessential Sam Presti.
Yeah, man, at the trade deadline, if they flip him to Boston for, what, Bradley in a first round or something, right?
And then
like,
it turns out the landscape has changed.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be unreal, and that would be almost... That would be Ainge meeting his true adversary, because Presti is phenomenal at what he does, and Danny Ainge has been chasing that championship contending team, so that would be the move.
Yeah, no doubt.
But say that they decide to keep Paul George probably won't stay, probably goes to LA next year. And if that happens, say LeBron decides to leave, you have LeBron, Paul George, Lonzo Ball, you got something in L.A. If you make a super team out in L.A. next year, that's where I could see the landscape changing. I can't see the landscape changing this year.
No. And you know what? I think LeBron's way too smart to go out west now.
Yeah, it's going to be a bloodbath every year.
I feel like things have to dramatically change for him to want to go to L.A. I do understand him wanting to go to L.A. Like, if that's going to be, like, his fourth chapter, so to speak, I just don't think it's anytime soon, especially with how the NBA looks. Like, why play the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals with whatever team you're on? Like, play him in the finals out east, right? And he's at home. He's got Kyrie Irving, who's just going to age like a fine wine. How old is Kyrie? 25?
He's my age. Yeah,
that's
25.
Ridiculous. Yeah. Right? Kevin Love has finally found his spot kind of thing. They're going to be able to fill their roster for the next however years with whoever they want kind of thing.
Will they?
Well, I mean, like, they have Korver there. He's getting old. It is what it is. But they have those three guys that they're just going to be able, very similar to the Warriors, they're just going to be able to fill spots with players that want to win championships.
That's fair. I'm just more worried about the fact that David Griffin was a really good GM and he got let go.
Yes. No, that's a good point. Yeah.
Because LeBron moving out west, I do agree that he's smart enough to not move to the more competitive area, but he's also smart enough to know that LA has a much better chance at attracting talent to work alongside him than Cleveland does.
I think it would have to be orchestrated very similar to what the Heat did.
Yes, and you need someone like Pat Riley, maybe someone like Magic Johnson, who's running the Lakers.
Yeah.
To do that, because Dan Gilbert won't do that.
Yeah, exactly. So that's actually a really good point. Like, I almost forgot that Gilbert's not there anymore, and he was the one that really brought...
Griffin,
thank you. Gilbert is there, unfortunately. that he was a big reason why a lot of the talent has been able to fill around these three guys. So, yeah. Houston, man. We talked about it a lot last episode, but if the needle is being moved at all, it's got to be in that team, right? It's got to be.
For sure. I can't think of... We spoke about it last year. Last week.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
Got him.
We said it last week as well. Like, this is such a good team at reinventing themselves and not hitting rock bottom. Daryl Morey has done it three times with the Yao Magic, and then transition era Harden Dwight. And then Harden, Chris Paul. Like, this is really good reinvention of teams. And this is the right way to do it, right? Like, I applaud both Presti of the Thunder and Morey of the Rockets for capitalizing on their stars' primes, right? You want to see Russell Westbrook in the prime of his life, following his MVP year, with another superstar-level talent. That's maybe not named Kevin Durant.
Right.
And you want to see James Harden with someone who he actually will mold with, gel with. And if the reports are right and the fact that he was recruiting Chris Paul, that's saying something, right?
Oh, it says a lot.
It says more than I thought of
him. And Chris Paul, who's a basketball genius, wants to go to Houston.
Yes, and we would not bat an eye if these guys... I mean, we kind of would, but we wouldn't bat an eye if these guys were starting 1 and 2 for Team USA in the summer following this year or something, right?
Sure,
These are Olympic-level athletes, and... As you said, the greatest point guard of our generation, plus an MVP talent shooting guard. It's going to be really interesting to see how they work it out, who gets the ball when, if James Harden could go back to popping off screens, blah, blah, blah. I can't wait to see their shooting efficiency from the corner, because there's going to be a ton of slash and kick open threes that I'm so excited to see. And if they do so, like, this is all about the landscape. If they do meet the Warriors in the conference finals, given the roster right now, I think they could take one game, two games off them right now, and that's saying more than most of the league right now.
I think you're wrong. I think the Warriors are going to sweep them probably again.
Really? You think they gave up too much?
Man, it's one of those things that, I am super excited to see Houston, and if there is going to be a team that competes with them out west, it's going to be Houston. Sorry, compete with the Warriors.
But you don't think
Warriors,
it's...
The Warriors, the rich get richer.
Like, yeah, that's true.
They pay Steph what he's earned. I could not believe when I read this. He will be getting paid more in his last year of his contract, $45 million, than he did in his entire last contract, $44 million. That's dumb. That's unbelievable.
Dumb.
And then KD coming back at a massive discount, literally $7 million less than what he needed to actually come back to retain both Livingston and Iguodala, who both were on fantastic contracts. Iggy 3 for 48, and then Livingston 3 for 24, like unreal. And then they signed Omri Caspi for the minimum.
Dumb.
Unbelievable. And
dumb.
Then they just get Swaggy P off just the garbage heap for $5 million.
1 year, $5 million, yeah.
The rich get richer, man.
David West resigns for Vetmin.
Yeah, just unreal. And then they get Jordan Bill in the draft. Like, maybe all of this is for nothing.
Pat McCaw is a year better.
Yeah.
I mean, you make a good point in that degree. Reason I think they could compete with him is that I still believe in the fact that Houston could play a race to 150 and they will win at least 1 in 7 times against the Warriors. Every other team, maybe 1 in 7, 0 out of 7 times they beat the Warriors to that race. The Rockets are the one team that I thought this last year too, and it didn't happen because they didn't get there. But if there's a team racing to 125, 150 points, a James Harden led team and a James Harden Chris Paul led team, I know you do too, but we put a lot of value in that team, right? Like to get buckets, and I'm excited to see how they make it work. The amount of lobs that Capella is going to catch. But as you said, the rich do get richer, man. The Warriors got better. The only thing I can see against this is, of course, injury. That's a given.
Yep.
And the Warriors possibly feeling that, you know, maybe Iggy is a year older. He's a little slower. Maybe Livingston is a year older. He's a little slower. And maybe this team doesn't gel as perfectly as they did this year. And that would be crazy because that was their first year together and they killed it. So
yeah. Kumbaya Kerr, man.
Kumbaya Kerr. It all works out.
It's unreal. It's unreal.
Vergeau gets a ring for this last season, right?
I think it was last year he got one either or.
That was either or, but this year he got cut from the Warriors.
Right? Oh, did he?
Mid-season,
no,
wasn't it?
I could care less about that dude.
And they picked up, who was it, JaVale or Matt Barnes? I don't know.
They picked up a little of both, right?
Yeah.
So I think JaVale is actually talking with the Clippers right now. Who knows what Matt Barnes is doing?
Oh, Matt Barnes is, he's not coming back.
Just keeping up with the Derek Fisher news.
Yeah, I mean, you said it off air. The upgrade, the mere upgrade from Matt Barnes and
Ian Clark
to Nick Young and
Omri Caspi.
Caspi, that's pretty good.
Yeah, and it's very slight, but like Omri Caspi, and another thing I said off here, like I'm so surprised he's at the vet minimum, but maybe it's because of our little like basketball bubble of podcasts. Like a lot of the hosts really value him. Like I know Zach Lowe talks about him, dunked on both Nate Duncan and Danny LaRue. Coach Thorpe from ESPN talks very highly of him as well. But man, getting him on the minimum is just ridiculous. Just unbelievable. How are you feeling about Toronto? Like, we were so hype about the best season of... maybe not. Maybe the year before was the best Raptor season of all time.
This run.
Yeah,
exactly. This run, the most successful run ever.
Did they make the right moves? Is Masai going to stay here? Is he going to go to New York? Is Kyle happy?
Oh, did you hear that clip? He said, I hate New York.
F New York.
Yeah, it wasn't an F Brooklyn thing, but it was very close. He's like, I hate New York. I'm not going.
Oh, that's fantastic. It makes me feel much better. No, yeah. I didn't actually hear that clip.
Oh, it was great. But with that said, I don't see Masai leaving now.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, he locked down Kyle Lowry 3 years. Kyle Lowry lost a lot of leverage because, as you said, the other point guards got snatched up pretty quickly. George Hill also lost a lot of leverage because of waiting so long. But the market wasn't out there for them, and I thought we got them at good deals, man. It makes sense to roll this team back. It makes sense to keep DeMar happy and have his bro be around, Kyle Lowry.
No doubt.
It makes sense that you traded for Ibaka and you retained the asset because it just makes sense to do that. You don't want to trade for him and then lose the asset. This team won't be as good as last year, I think. I think having Ibaka and Lowry and DeRozan work together in a full training camp is going to be really valuable. But you still need to upgrade DeMar Carroll. You hope OG Anunoby turns to that quintessential three guy eventually, but that's going to be a couple of years from now, possibly 3 years from now when Toronto takes their next chapter. I thought it was good moves, man. You should roll it back. You should add prestige to the franchise. And who knows, maybe Kyle Lowry's jersey gets retired now if at the end of this 3 years if we don't trade him.
I think so. Second greatest Raptor of all time in my books.
Yeah, yeah. And wait, who's first?
DeMar.
Oh, yeah. Okay, interesting. Yeah, and then Chris Bosh third, and then Vince fourth?
Yeah.
Okay, nice.
And then
nice.
Bargnani fifth.
Oh, okay. I see. Yeah, I see. We're on the same page. Yeah, top five. Yeah.
The fifth is always interesting. Mo Pete, maybe.
Yeah, Mo Pete.
Yeah, what I also think is interesting, I said earlier that they're kind of locked in, but I still think they have a lot of valuable trade assets. So, like, if DeMar, Lowry, and Ibaka are kind of your stakes, like the guys that your foundation of your franchise right now moving forward, they have a lot of assets to move. And people have been whispering about Corey Joseph kind of going to Indiana for whatever it is. Valanciunas, I'm not actually sure what kind of team would value him and his skills. And then you got Norm Powell, you got DeLon Wright kind of thing. You got Jakob Poeltl. Who knows who's going to play kind of thing. It's going to be really interesting because I know Masai is a genius, and I know he looks at the landscape and says, yeah, we might be able to compete for home court, but what are we really trying to do here? You know, and them paying Lowry and Ibaka basically kind of says they are going to go for it. They are going to compete for the next few years. So what are they going to do with guys like Valanciunas, Corey Joseph, stuff like that, right? Like, pretty good assets. It's going to be interesting to see if they keep them and roll it back the exact same way that they have the past few years, or if they might try and shop them and see what's out there for them.
Phil would do a phenomenal job. I naturally, and please clap after this, I hate the Knicks and yes. don't yes. care, really.
There it is from Masai himself. He's staying.
Wow. I don't care. He's so funny.
Yeah, just says it up front. Shouts George Strabalopoulos. With all that said, I agree with everything you said, man. Like, this is the right time to roll it back. This is a perennial playoff team if everyone stays healthy. And what's wrong with being the third or fourth seed every year for the next 3 years?
Oh, no doubt. And they're going to sell out every game. It's a moneymaker, right? Maple Leaf Sport Entertainment's going to be super happy. You know?
Yes, yeah, for sure. And they're going to be really competitive first round series, like
just naturally.
Yeah, unfortunately,
game one. Yeah.
As is tradition in the North. Like, I can't wait to see them possibly match up with the Bucks again. That's going to be a bloodbath again, and of course the Wizards. Oh man, we're almost done.
Yeah. You got Mr. Wedley coming up though.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's crazy to think about how much the deck has been shuffled, how many good players have swapped teams, how many new contracts with different guys on different teams, yet we're probably going to get the exact same finals next year.
Yeah, so long story short, not much has changed.
Yeah, it's been a fun free agency regardless. We're going to be back next week to try and tie it up a little bit more, maybe talk some summer league, and we'll see what else is on the news docket. But thanks for sticking with us this week here on Gameruns 101.5 UMFM. Up next, we got our call with Adam Wedlick of Basketball Manitoba on some local basketball news. We'll see you here next week.
Hey, Serge, how's it going this week?
Hey, not too bad. How are you, Adam?
Good.
Good to hear. What you got for us this week?
Well, it's always another crazy busy week. We always say the off season is, I think, relegated down to about 2 hours a year now, it seems. So there's always things on the go.
There's no off season.
It's like the NBA off season. What was that? From the NBA awards to the
free agency.
The free agency was about, 4 days?
Does not stop.
So it's non-stop. Well, our provincial teams are fully going right now. We just actually returned from seeing some of our counterparts from across Western Canada. Seeing teams from Saskatchewan, Alberta, Northwest Territories, New Brunswick, Newfoundland this past weekend in Regina. And as a combined whole, our Manitoba teams went 9-3 overall, which was always nice to see some Ws.
Nice.
But it's really a chance for us to allow our teams to see some early competition, allow for our coaches to refine and adjust, make some, try some things out, different lines, just very much like an NBA preseason would be, just a chance to get on the floor and see how our teams will fare against and allow us a chance to get back into town here and refine on a few things make some tweaks and go from there. Our teams are now off to, our girls headed out to Iowa this morning, and they're there for the next just under a week in a huge tournament that's down there in AAU, which a lot of the players that do eventually make the NBA or WNBA have their starts early on in the AAU circuits and cycles. And so it's good for our teams to get down there and another chance to get on the court. Our boys are next week are off to Indiana for a huge tournament that's down there. And you could probably, if you looked at some rosters from some of these tournaments out there, say from 10 years ago, you'd probably see the who's who of the NBA today. So it's a good chance for our kids to get some exposure like that, a chance to travel and work with our teams and hopefully just ultimately get better. So as a small little tip to that, our 17U guys team was named the CTV Sports Stars of the Week, which is always a nice little little perk. Getting our team, that same team will be preparing and as the girls team at that age level for the Canada Games that are a little more than 3 weeks away, which is crazy that it's that close from now. And that'll definitely take over the city and have a nice buzz for amateur sport for the first 2 weeks of August in the city here. So a couple other things that are on the go. This weekend in Edmonton, we have a Team Winnipeg that's going to be taking part of the 3-on-3 Canada Quest National Championship. That's taking place at the West Edmonton Mall. There was a total of 8 teams that were qualified across Canada. This Team Winnipeg one came out of the 3x3 Canada Quest stop that was in Winnipeg about 3 weeks ago. And that team is made up of Wyatt Anders, who had his time at the University of Manitoba there, just a recent grad a couple years ago, former Bison. O'Neill Gordon, who played for the Bobcats. Jelaine Price, who has been with the Winnipeg Westmen, and Matthew Koenig make up Team Winnipeg, and that'll be taking place this weekend at Edmonton. From there, the top two at Edmonton head to Saskatoon for the World Tour stop, which is the North American stop, not just Canada. We'll be in Saskatoon next weekend, the following weekend, to then play against counterparts from major U.S. cities, where there's usually teams from New York and Chicago and L.A. and Miami, and beyond that, we've got teams from Puerto Rico and Mexico and basically all of North America and the Caribbean send their top teams to there, and that's part of the FIBA 3x3 World Tour, which I mentioned a few shows ago about the stepping stones. This is early stepping stones to the ultimately to the Olympics. That's still yet to be determined on the exact pathway a team would get there. But the 2020 Olympics with 3-on-3 basketball being added to that, these are some early stages that are in place there. And then the last, and what really happens locally outside of these kind of teams I've just talked about, is a lot of summer basketball camps happening. And if you're a young player, I'd say young would be probably in the ages from 6 to 18 range, and you're sitting around looking to get your game better, this is the time of year that, as the saying goes, the off-season, not really an off-season, but the off-season or this time of year is when good players become great players.
Yes.
And so I would suggest anybody who is maybe has a young person themselves or as a son or daughter that's looking to stay active and busy this summer, there's a ton of summer basketball camps, and you can find all those on our website, which is basketballmanitoba.ca.
Absolutely. To touch back on the 3-on-3, I'm just so happy. It's weird. I'm so happy and proud. I take pride in the fact that the Prairies have a very strong showing of 3-on-3 basketball, especially at its most notorious phase of its existence, now that it's going to be an Olympic sport. We've had, of course, Darcy Koss, Wyatt Anders has been on a couple teams. Saskatoon has had a strong team for the past couple of years. It's just a really good thing to see that these tournaments are, FIBA is recognizing the strength of these teams in the Prairies.
Right, yeah, it's really neat. Actually, you sort of see, you sort of talk about like a microcosm of a team like this, and you actually see that even at the international level, where you typically you'd sort of look at basketball powerhouses, and you sort of always think of the Americans. You think of maybe France or Argentina or China, Russia, big nations, big populous nations with quite a few resources that athletes can pull from. But actually, you see a lot of the at this 3-on-3 level, at the world championships that are still that have happening, and they're still actually as we speak. There's, if you head to YouTube and type in FIBA 3x3, you'll see probably any given moment a live stream of a high-level 3-on-3 game to get a sort of scope of this. A lot of those countries that are doing really well at that are not your typical basketball powerhouses or even just large populous countries. A lot of smaller Eastern European countries, a lot of smaller African, Asian countries that, again, aren't your typical large populous countries that usually suck all the air out of the room when they show up. So it's really neat. And it's sort of a trickle-down to your point there, Serge, typically you sort of think of Canadian basketball. Okay, well, you think of Toronto, you think of Montreal, you think of Vancouver, typically because those are your larger population centers. And usually they're strong, of course.
Oh, yeah.
But because you don't need a full roster of 12 people, you can put forward your best three. It's like when you look at why is Team USA or a Dream Team kind of model so dominant is because they're so deep.
Yes.
You could maybe go five, take your best, Americans' best five and put against the France's best five or Argentina's best five. And probably it's not going to be, maybe it's still going to be a U.S. win, but
yes,
but it's not going to be a blowout. But when you go down to players 6 through 12, a USA team is, in most years, they're
All-stars.
Cutting NBA All-Stars. That's we're going to take our best 12, and you're an All-Star, but hey, there's a guy better than you. We're in other nations, including Canada. You're in the NBA, you're maybe not an All-Star, but of course you've cracked an NBA roster, you're probably playing for Team Canada or Team France or Team Spain or whoever. And that's where, back to the 3-on-3 point, you've got a much smaller roster, really only four people, and your best four from a country against another best four, you've got a really close game. So it's exciting, really exciting to see.
Absolutely. One last thing I want to touch on. Manitoba College Athletic Conference, MCAC, hired a new communications coordinator.
Really? I didn't hear about that. Actually, no, I have heard about it. He's not on the call right now, but of course we can talk about him. He won't bring this up himself, but of course your other wonderful co-host there, Neil, is the new communication coordinator for the MCAC, which for those that are unaware, MCAC, as you said, Manitoba College's Athletic Conference, they are the group that oversees or runs the college level of sport, not just basketball, but they're involved with volleyball, soccer, futsal, and basketball as their main sports.
Ooh, futsal.
The main schools or the schools that are involved with that, of course, are Red River College, Canadian Mennonite University, Providence College, St. Boniface College, Assiniboine College. I believe I've covered them all, college-level sports. And so, yeah, nice to see Neil and refine his ever-growing skills as a journalist and communications person as their new communication coordinator, and awesome to see.
Absolutely. He's no scrub when it comes to work, but he is a scrub on the show. So shouts to Neil. Congrats.
You can say all this stuff when he's not here to rebut or
Oh, he's a bum.
Talent.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a total bum. But Adam, thank you so much for all this information this week. We will talk to you next week.
You bet, Serge. Thanks again.
Thank you. Take care. Bye.
Later.